Sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. A state lawmaker on one of the most important legislative committees has a close relationship with her old public relations firm. Now, how close is too close and how concerned should you be? Well, Detroit News reporter Craig Mauger, who broke this story, is here with me to unpack all of it. Craig, welcome back to Mishmash.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. It's good to be back.
Well, this was a big investigation that you performed for the news. You looked into State Rep. Angela Whitwer, chairwoman of the State House Appropriation Committee, which is essentially one of the state's spending committees. Whitwer has essentially stayed close with the consulting firm Edge Partnerships, which she founded pretty openly. You said in your piece, Edge, quote, works for some of the state's largest trade associations, and Whitwer used her position in a way that helped one prominent client get access to policymakers. So let's start with this. How concerning is Whitwer's contact with her old firm?
I think it's, from my perspective as someone who covers this, this kind of potential conflict often in this beat, this one is concerning because of how little we know about it. We do know that she has maintained this close connection with her former public relations firm. We know that all types of major interest groups in this state have been paying this public relations firm while she is in the legislature. But we don't know if that money is trickling through to Representative Whitwer. She won't say. We don't know what her ownership stake is in the business. As of recently, she has said, I'm not an owner. In other statements, she's indicated she is an owner. So this is unclear, and she has not been willing to put out further information. You know, as someone that covered this state capitol for a while, that when people don't answer questions, that usually raises red flags because it would indicate that there is some reason that they're not answering the question. That's kind of one of the first principles of journalism. If you have nothing to hide, you usually hide nothing. If I go up to a lawmaker and say someone's accusing of this and they have something that will be will show their innocence, they will throw that out as quickly as they can to say, hey, you're on the wrong trail here. She has not done that. She has said she's not involved in the day-to-day operations of Edge. In our reporting, we've documented all of these instances of her communicating with Edge, Edge promoting their relationship with her, her promoting her relationship with Edge. And then you have this very concerning situation where two times she has apparently invited one of Edge's clients to be her guest on the House floor for the State of the State speech. And then this client has said, hey, this is a great opportunity for us to, you know, basically lobby all the lawmakers to try to get incentives for the film industry.
Walk us through some more of those, some of the bigger problematic instances that you found of this relationship between Whitwer and Edge.
Yeah, so the one I just kind of referenced is this connection with the Film Industry Association. This is one of the big policy debates that will unfold under the new Democratic control in Lansing. There is a group of Democrats and some Republicans who want to bring back these financial incentives to try to lure movies and TV productions to the state. You know, a decade ago, that was a big deal. There was money available through a state program to give to these companies that produce movies to have them locate here. And then there would be promotions all over. Hey, look, this movie located in Michigan and filmed here. They want to bring that back. It was done away with in 2015. There's a lobbying campaign to make it happen. Edge Partnerships is running, they admit this on their website, the association that's leading the push for these film incentives. And she has twice, it looks like from what's available online, Facebook posts, invited the chairman of the Film Industry Association and her former business partner that she co-founded Edge with. We don't know if it's a former business partner or current business partner because Rep. Whitwer has not identified some of this information, but she invited those two to be her guests on the House floor. That's a big deal for the State of the State speech because you get to sit there, you get to spend many hours in the room with all of the people that make these decisions where you can make your case to them about what you need, what you want to see. There are other posts that show Rep. Whitwer meeting with the leaders of this association and her business partner, Lori Reshar, to talk about how to get these film incentives brought back. That's one issue. I mean, she also Edge has a contract that was reached a couple of years ago with the Michigan Department of Education. So you have this very unusual situation where the person in charge of setting the state budget in the House, a firm that she was tied to, definitely in 2020, when the contract started, got a contract through the funding that she gets to allocate and approve for the department each year. We don't have many conflicts of interest policies in the state of Michigan, but the one we do have for lawmakers is you cannot have a financial interest that is considered substantial in a contract with a state department or some lower level of government in the state of Michigan. And there are questions of whether this setup violates that or not.
It seems like Whitwer has been pretty open in showing this relationship. You mentioned, you know, having these guests on the House floor, the promotion of Whitwer on the Edge website and things like that. Any sense of, like, why she was so open about this and why nobody really seemed to have a red flag for them before?
You know, it's a great question and something that I've thought about before is, like, why didn't anyone notice this before, including myself, or think about this before? And I don't have a great answer. I've talked to a lot of people around Lansing who have said, you know, yeah, we noticed this before and we were wondering, this is very strange. Why is she promoting this connection with the business that she formerly ran? But I mean, keep in mind, Angela Whitwer is someone who in her first term in office, 2019 and 2020, was a very low level member of the House Democratic Caucus, which was a minority caucus at that time. Then in her second term in 21 and 22, she had risen up the ranks of the Democratic caucus, but she still was in the minority. So she still didn't really have control over anything that was happening in Lansing. I mean, she could vote, but she wasn't setting the policy. Now in 23, this is her first year as the chairperson of the Appropriations Committee. Democrats are in the majority, and she is one of the two, and some Democrats say she's the most powerful Democrat in the House, that they think she's the most influential Democrat in the state House because of her role and her ability to wield power. So I think her increasing influence and her ability now to guide an $82 billion state budget has put all of this in the light and spurred questions about it all.
I want to shift gears a little bit to sort of the policy implications behind this and sort of what Michigan is lacking when it comes to transparency. You point out in your piece that one of the reasons nobody really noticed all of this is because state lawmakers don't have to file personal financial disclosures to screen for possible conflicts of interest. However, last November's ballot proposal had a requirement for new financial disclosure standards to be enacted, but those haven't been enacted yet. Have people gotten more interested in making these disclosures necessary? I mean, is the legislature going to get moving on this? What is the vibe right now?
One of the reasons people probably didn't know about this relationship between Rep. Whitwer and Edge is because she's never had to put it on paper in a disclosure like lawmakers do in 48 other states in this country. Michigan's one of two where lawmakers currently don't have to file any type of personal financial disclosure. In November, voters widely approved this ballot proposal to begin requiring these financial disclosures. However, lawmakers have until the end of this year to enact the requirement, to put it into state law, to say what all they're going to have to disclose. They could have done this earlier this year. They've been, you know, this group of lawmakers have been in control for 8 months now. They have not even rolled out a proposal. The Democrats, who are in the majority, haven't even put a proposal on paper yet to show the public. They have not held a single committee hearing on a proposal so far. This is all going to likely play out over the next 2 months very quickly. There's going to be a lot of interest to see what they put in these disclosures. But when the disclosures are eventually enacted, Rep. Whitwer and others will have to put down on paper, likely, here is my financial interest in this business. Here is the income I made off this business last year. And that will allow everyone to vet for themselves the financial relationship between the representative and this firm that she's looking at and other representatives. I mean, that's something that I, you know, do want to highlight, and we didn't really maybe spell out in the story, but think about this. In February 2022, Rep. Whitwer filed the annual business statement to keep Edge Partnership, an ongoing business in the state of Michigan. She listed herself as the resident agent, the person in charge of all the legal mechanisms for the business, and a member of the business, meaning she's a member running the business. That was February 2022. Edge did not file another annual statement until April 2023. When the April 2023 document showed up, she was no longer listed there. What happened between February 2022 and April 2023 that might have made someone realize, hey, I'm going to have to start reporting this, so I need to actually think about this for the first time? I don't know if that's the case, but it's one question that I have for her. Because voters approved the financial disclosure proposal in November 2022, did she all of a sudden start thinking, hey, I don't think this is going to look right on a disclosure to show this connection to Edge? I need to start pulling myself back out of this business. And I think that's a question I would love to hear an answer to from her and other lawmakers. You know, it shows potentially the value of this ballot proposal that lawmakers are already potentially thinking about, hey, maybe this relationship I have is not a good one. Who knows?
What has Representative Whitwer's response been to this? You mentioned that she hasn't really responded. What about her team or maybe even other lawmakers? What has been the reaction as you were reporting out this piece? Who was willing to talk to you?
There are a lot of lawmakers who are concerned about this situation. I can say that. I've talked to a number of lawmakers who say, we'd like to know more about what's going on here. They're not coming out publicly and saying, hey, I want to know more about what's going on here, because they're not ready to quite do that yet. But there are Republican lawmakers who have said, this is concerning. She needs to come clean about what all of this information is before we can decide how to go forward. Because, yeah, it's one thing if Rep. Whitwer has acknowledged that this is a potential ethical concern and taken actions like cutting off her ties to the public relations business, making it so there's some type of firewall where she's not gaining any income off this business while she's serving in the legislature. You know, maybe the firm is not going to take clients that have policy matters that she could vote on. Maybe she's going to abstain from certain things that happen. She has not spelled any of those things out. She has said, I'm not involved in the day-to-day operations of the firm, even though there's a long thread of social media posts that show her very clearly being involved in day-to-day operations of the firm, participating in meetings with firm clients and the firm leadership, promoting job postings at the firm which she runs. You know, she has put out two statements in response to our story. The first one said basically it was from her office staff. It said she is still a co-owner of the firm, but she is not involved in the day-to-day operations. So that says I'm still a co-owner. That's what she said initially. 3 days later, she said, my staff got this wrong. I'm not a co-owner in this firm, and I'm not involved in the day-to-day operations. It's unclear what happened in those 3 days or how her staff had gotten that wrong, but those are questions that have gone unanswered. The question we have continually asked is, are you making money off this firm while you're in the legislature? When did you stop having an ownership interest in the firm? If you stopped in 2023, that might be different than if you stopped when you took office in 2019. So, I mean, these are all questions that we're still trying to track down, and we hope to get answers to.
What kicked you off to this story?
People think reporters sit there in their office and just say, hey, I'm going to chase down this story today. You know, there are people in any community, in any area who know about these things happening behind the scenes, who are concerned about them, who will say, you know, might call up a reporter and say, hey, this is weird. I noticed this relationship. You should look into this. And when it comes to Rep. Whitwer, I had gotten multiple calls from people who said, this is just weird. And the things that they were concerned about aren't necessarily where the story ended up, but they had just noticed things like, hey, it's kind of strange that she has this connection. And that put us down the path of where we ended up.
Moving on from the Rep. Whitwer story, you had a couple other interesting pieces that I wanted to touch on before we head out. One is to check in on the November 2024 race. Yes, it is closer than we all think Former Michigan Congressman Peter Meyer, a Republican, is possibly looking at a U.S. Senate campaign. Meyer lost his reelection after his first term when he was actually primaried by Republican John Gibbs. Gibbs then lost to Democrat Hillary Scolton. Craig, what's going on with Meyer?
He's very seriously considering getting into this U.S. Senate race, which is a big deal. His candidacy will have a lot of implications and ramifications politically in the state of Michigan. Peter Meyer is someone that Donald Trump has singled out as a Republican that he opposes and doesn't want to see in elected office again, because Peter Meyer was one of the few Republicans that voted to impeach Donald Trump. But Peter Meyer, as a Senate candidate, is someone, even Democrats will acknowledge this, that has appeal across the aisle. He can get Republican and Democratic votes. He's a young candidate. There is so much angst out there about the age of these U.S. senators right now. He is someone that can run counter to that narrative. And just the name Meyer. Names mean so much in politics. Everybody in this state knows the name Meyer. Everyone knows that name, and that could be a good thing for him, could be a bad thing for him, but he has a lot of potential to shake up this race. He's looking at running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate. Mike Rogers, a former U.S. House member, is now in this race as a Republican for the U.S. Senate. He's a well-known name in parts of Michigan. And then you have former Detroit Police Chief James Craig, who's also looking at this. If all three of those individuals get into this race, it's going to be quite an event, because they all have a potential path to winning, and they all are very savvy political individuals. I mean, they all think about how to get media attention. They all think about how best to craft their image and put it out there. And I think it'd be a fun race to cover, for sure.
And it's a race that's really open huge, because current Senator Debbie Stabenow is not running again. Stabenow has held the seat for years and years. And I should point out, we had a conversation with Senator Stabenow here on Mishmash. Check that episode out. It was a couple weeks ago. That has really opened this race wide open for really anybody. I mean, we really just don't know, is the state going to go Republican or Democrat? And I think Meyer, you're right, is just such an interesting possibility there, because he's almost purple, which is kind of what Michigan is in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, he is someone who could talk to voters on both sides of the aisle. He knows how to talk to voters on both sides of the aisle. He is, he's an interesting candidate to listen to speak, because he does not sound like other candidates. I mean, the way he talks about issues is different than your traditional Republican, different than your traditional Democrat. So he has a potential lane in a general election. The question is, does he have a lane in a primary election, or does the anti-Trump forces in the Republican Party that seem to dominate now, will they dismiss him out of hand and oppose him regardless? I mean, right now, Donald Trump seems to have a big lead for the presidential primary. If Meyer gets in this, it will be extremely fascinating. I mean, there's a number of high profile Democratic candidates also seeking this seat. And Alyssa Slotkin, who's a current member of the U.S. House, is probably the early favorite among Democrats for the position. But you have actor Hill Harper and the State Board of Education president Pamela Pugh also in the race. So it's shaping up to be something. I think a lot of people initially said Michigan won't have a competitive U.S. Senate seat. It's not going to be one of the big U.S. Senate races, because they are looking at 2022 and seeing the Governor Whitmer won by 11 points. They were looking at the state of the Michigan Republican Party. They have no money. And they thought, how can this be competitive? You know, the Republicans got some candidates that potentially could make it competitive. And keep in mind, in 2020, this was a very close state. Donald Trump lost by 3 percentage points to Joe Biden. The Senate race was closer than that. So that's not that long ago. It's unlikely that things have shifted that much in 4 years, but we'll see.
Finally, you had a really interesting piece about the Michigan legislature session. They just got back from summer break, but according to you, it looks like they may already be thinking about ending the year early. Explain.
Yes. So this is in the weeds, but it's really lovely if you can get into the weeds and think about this.
That's why I bring you on. I bring you on for weeds.
So They have, the Democrats have set the presidential primary right now for February 27th. They did not get enough votes for that date from Republicans for the bill to take effect immediately. So upon passage, when Governor Whitmer signed it, they didn't get enough votes for it to take effect then. So it will take effect 90 days after session ends. Session normally ends toward the end of December. That is less than 90 days from February 27th. All indications are they will adjourn at some point in early November to give enough time for the primary to take place on February 27th. As it stands now, none of the Democratic leaders in Lansing want to acknowledge publicly that they are going to adjourn in early November, because I think they realize there's a political risk in shutting down early, because Republicans are going to say, you're giving up 2 months of governing to go have a presidential political race happen in Michigan. And there are some Democrats that don't want to adjourn early because they're saying, we have been out of power for 40 years. We get back in power, and now we're giving away 2 months of lawmaking, November and December, so we can have a presidential primary race on February 27th, which on our side is not even a race. Joe Biden is very likely to be the nominee. So there's a lot of hand-wringing and frustration, and we're going to hear more about this as it comes out. But, you know, right now, all the tea leaves are pointing toward they're going to adjourn in early November, and the presidential primary is going to take place on February 27th.
I can't wait to see what happens with this. This is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Greg Mauger, reporter for the Detroit News. It is always a pleasure to have you here with us on Mishmash.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearn Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrand. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, really, shows like this one and all of the great work that WDET does just would not be possible. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.